Okay, we're recording.
Brilliant. What's up, everyone? Okay, it's a bit of a kind of continuation, really.
Recording
from last
in
time.
Progress.
It's really just kind of started like put together the different cases of Makshiriyoch and Nefesh, yeah? Just to kind of see how it falls out. So basically, the beginning, let me find the Gemara, the beginning of this week's Hesbeik, this week's kind of section, we brought the following Brisa. Right, let's find it. Right, so it says, yeah, the following, yeah, the case of Shepuch Nirtsam, yeah, where the stick with the head's fallen off, yeah, mm-hmm. Grafis Tano, the Karayim, yeah, so where mm-hmm. basically the stuff has fallen in and it's now at the bottom of the oven, yeah, and you want to scrape it out, right? So so all these things, right, and the sucking as well, right, which is from last week, yeah. It says they're part of the machlos of Machshiri Eichel Nefes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanon, yeah? And then it speaks out that basically what the drushes are. So Rabbi Yehuda, since he learns Lachem, is more inclusive. It is L'chos Al-Cheichem, right? And although there's two words, there's Lachem and there's Hu, right? So the Rabbanon say Hu is kind of Miut, and basically Rabbi Yehuda, right, in response says, okay, you know what, yeah, it is a Miut, yeah? So you've got a Miut of Hu, you've got Lachem, which is L'chos Al-Cheichem, so how do you work it out? So he says basically that if it's Efshar, that you could have basically done whatever you want to do before Yom Tov, yeah, then it's not allowed on Machshiri Ochel Nefesh, right? But if it's Efshar, if it, you know, so the classic example would be that the thing only kind of gets blunt or whatever on Yom Tov itself, yeah, then according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's then within Lachem. That includes even Machshiri Ochel Nefesh, yeah? So that's basically Pekitza, that's the kind of Machlokus that we saw beginning this week. So it does end up, by the way, just a gub, it ends up quite interesting, yeah? The Ochel Nefesh itself has the, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who permits it, yeah? Has the requirement that it has to be Efshar, right? That you couldn't have done it before Yom Tov. And that's actually different from Ochel Nefesh. And just by the way, I just thought, I saw this last night, I thought it was Geschmack, yeah? Chasam Sofer, yeah? He basically says that it's a very Lamdish thing, yeah? But he wants to say that the difference between Ochel Nefesh and Machshiri Ochel Nefesh, according to Rabbi, obviously they're both permitted, yeah? But is that Ochel Nefesh, it's what's called Hutra. It's completely permitted, yeah? Right? And once it's permitted, it doesn't matter the fact that you could have done it beforehand or not, yeah? Whereas he wants to say that Machshiri Ochel Nefesh is what's called Dechuyah. Right, which means that really it's like you're pushing things off. Yeah, you're allowed to do a malacha because you're pushing things off. Right, which means that that's why it has to be that you can only push things off if right you couldn't have done it beforehand. But if you could have done it beforehand, then it's more limited. Yeah. Anyway, that's a very interesting idea. Yeah. Always we you know whenever we talk about kind of you know things like you know pekuach nefesh and things like that, it's always you know the thing become permissible to do the malacha or is it dechuya? So here it ends up being, right, that's the difference between Ochel Nefesh Mamish and Machshiri Ochel Nefesh. Anyway, that's just an idea. But that's our brisa, yeah? So we saw beforehand, yeah, if you remember going back a few dapim, yeah, there was a whole question about putting out a light, yeah, putting out an or, right, mechaber, because of fetashmish, yeah? And Abai was asked this question, right? And he basically, you know, he kind of like tried to say, well, could you go to another room? Could you do this? Could you do that? And the bottom line was that if you couldn't do anything else, he said, I'm sorry, there's nothing else you can do. It's asa, yeah? Mm-hmm. And when we looked at that, basically, yeah, we brought, a question about that, yeah? So if you go back to Kaf Base, if you've got it in front of you, yeah? And basically the question was the fact that it says ein mechabim nesabakas, right, kedei lechuslav. You can't put out a fire right on wood because you want to spare the wood. Ve'imbishvil shelo yisashin abayis or hakedei remuta. But you're allowed to put out a fire, right, if it's there to stop a house being smoked out or to save a pot, basically, that the pot shouldn't get smoked out, yeah? So that was seemingly asked as a kasha on him, yeah? Interesting, okay. And he responded and he said, yeah, that's not a problem, he said, because that's Rabbi Yehuda. Whereas I'm holding like the Rabbanon, right? So what you see, what seems to be from that is, yeah, putting out a fire, right, to stop a house being smoked out or to stop a pot being burnt or even, you know, the way it's applied here, yeah, in order to allow for tashmish, yeah, That seems to be a kind of an extension, yeah, of Machshir Yochel Nefesh, right? Which is permitted for Rabbi Yehuda, but he's saying, I don't hold like that, I hold like the Rabbanon, yeah? Okay, so it seems to be that Machshir Yochel Nefesh is in a sense quite broad, in a sense, yeah? It's like, you know, you can do malachas, right? Where there's kind of an indirect kind of hana, it seems to be that's also kind of an extension of Machshir Yochel Nefesh, yeah? So that was another case, yeah? Now the last case, right, and you'll see why I'm going through all these cases, right? But the last case is kind of one we've already seen in the sub-branch, which is this issue of the Kiraim and where it falls in, yeah? And the Tanur, right? Mm-hmm. And it comes later on also on Lamed Beis. We haven't yet seen that, but I'll tell you why that's relevant in a second. So we've got three things. Our daf, where we talk about the knife, right, the shepud, right, that the head's broken off, yeah? Right. And we talk about that it's falling in, yeah? Mm-hmm. Right? And there we saw that classic case. We have on Kaf Beis, we've got that the case of Abai with putting out the Tashmish and or to save the pot or to save the house. And then we've got later on a brisa that just focuses on that case of the Tana where it falls in. Now, the reason why these are interesting is because if you go to the Halach, if you go to the Rif, yeah? So we mentioned the Rif last time. The Rif, right, basically goes and he paskins in respect to the knife, yeah, yeah. The halach is like Rabbi Yehuda, but a morin kain, which is one of the caveats we had, right? Mm-hmm. So that's fine, yeah. The problem is if you go back to the cases on Kaf Beis, he paskins that you're not allowed, yeah, to put out the light like a bayi. You're not allowed to put out the light because of Tashmish, you're not allowed to put out the light, yeah, the fire, yeah, in order to save the pot, yeah. Or to save the house being smoked out.
Right.
So everyone asks, yeah, and says, I don't really understand, yeah. You're passing like Rabbi Yehuda, and yet on the other hand, on the cases of Kaf Beis, right, you're not going like Rabbi Yehuda.
Consistent.
Right. So mm-hmm. it's a kasha. Mm-hmm. And yet, by the way, the third case we do pask in, it's based on, you know, seemingly later on, is if things fall in, yeah, to the oven. And you know you have to scrape it out with paskin, that's okay. So seemingly, basically, we're paskin like Rabbi Yehuda sometimes and not at other times, right? That's one question. And the second question is, even within Rabbi Yehuda, right, when we come to the case of the knife, there's it's always going to be only if Esher when you're right. It's only going to be if Efshar if we're like Rabbi Yehuda, that's true. But the thing I was going to point out, when it comes to the knife, yeah, that we say we pass them like Rabbi Yehuda, but we say that Ein Morin came, right? Ein Morin Halacha came. We don't teach it that way, yeah? Whereas when we come to the Kiraim and things falling in, there doesn't seem to be that caveat, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Maybe so, Ein Morin came.
Yeah, it doesn't say Ein Morin came, yeah? Right. So again, it seems to be you've got some cases where Rabbi Yehuda says what he says, and we just don't paskin like him, right? Some cases where we paskin like him, just like the case of the Quran where everything's falling in and you scrape it out. And then we've got the middle case where we like the knife. Where the knife, where we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, right, but we say Ein Morin Kain. So how do you fit these all together, right? So the Bala Mor himself kind of asks on the Rif, yeah. His suggestion is, yeah, that when the Rif was kind of saying that, you know, we don't, like saying, you know, that we can't put out a light, you know, because of Tashmish in these kind of things, he wanted to suggest that maybe all he meant was Ein Morin Kain. He doesn't mean that we don't go like that. It just means Ein Morin Kain, but he's much beyond on the Rif, right, that he didn't spell that out.
Right.
But that's a bit of a difficult answer, yeah? Right. So the Ramban, the other Mephoshim don't like that answer, yeah? So instead, they're going to have to basically say that we need to be mechalek between the different cases of Rabbi Yehuda. And basically, the way it kind of comes out is, yeah, that the Ikar Din is like Rabbi Yehuda. On a Duraisa level, we go like Rabbi Yehuda, right? Mm-hmm. But on top of that, we're kind of a bit cautious, Midura Brahma, yeah? And therefore, we're kind of a bit more stringent. So now, obviously, to be clear, on a Duraisa level, it has to be that it's Efshar before Yontif, yeah? That's a Duraisa Din. If it's Efshar to do before Yontif, then we know that Rabbi Yehuda himself, he's darshaning from Duraisa Dins, mm-hmm. yeah? Like, you know, Lachem and Hu, right? Mm-hmm. So if Efshar before Yontif, there's even on a Duraisa level, it's going to be a problem,
mm-hmm.
right? But there's other things where Rabbi Yehuda would say it's okay, right? Where Durabonon, we're going to come along and be stringent, yeah? And basically, what it seems to come out, yeah, is that kind of how close is it, at least, in the connection to the achila itself, to the ochel nefesh itself, yeah, and how necessary is it, yeah? So basically, if we start, let's say, with the most kuladika thing, yeah, the scraping out of the oven, yeah, we're going to turn around and say, you know what, if you don't scrape out the oven, you just can't cook the food, yeah, that's very, very connected, and without doing that, you know, it's going to be a problem of simchas yontif. That's the kind of case where we're going to want to be lenient, and we don't even say amorin kain. That's, you know, that's clear you're allowed to do, yeah, that's completely permitted, yeah. On the other end of the spectrum, yeah, to put out a light, let's say because of Tashmish, or to save the house being smoked out, yeah, it's kind of much more distanced, yeah, from Ochel Nefesh, yeah. So those kind of things, yeah, that basically we're going to say that actually Durabanan, it's kind of too indirect, and we're not going to permit it at all, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the middle case is something like the knife, yeah, because you are using, right, the knife for Ochel Nefesh.
According to Rabbi Huda,
exactly. Rabbi Huda will permit it, right. Yeah, but we're Durabana and Deraisa, it could be it's permitted. But and we pass the Ikadin Deraisa is like Rabbi Huda. But we're going to come along and be stringent because it's kind of less directly connected to Ochel. I mean, even though we permit Machshiri Ochel Nefesh, and kind of therefore which includes indirect things, this is kind of too indirect, yeah? The Hanar is kind of too indirect. We're not going to, to Rabbanan, we're going to be stringent, yeah? So once again, if it's Machshiri Ochel Nefesh, like an oven where if you didn't scrape it out, you just wouldn't be able to cook food, it's going to impact Simchas Yontif, that's completely permitted on one hand of the spectrum. On the other side, yeah, something which is kind of very far from Ochel Nefesh, right? And it's really kind of some kind of indirect Hanar, or the house is going to get smoked out, or Tashmish, or something like that, yeah? It's too indirect, and we're not going to permit it at all, yeah? Right? The Rabbanan, right? And then there's the middle case. And the middle case, yeah, is like the knife, where, you know, you kind of need it for Ochel Nefesh. So in that sense, it is kind of direct, yeah? Direct Machshiri Ochel Nefesh. But they point out, and this is Kishmak, because we saw this a bit, if you remember last week, it's always possible to borrow a knife from someone else. You can't really borrow an oven from someone else. Well, I suppose you could go and bring your food there. but you know, when it comes to your house, you know, you want to cook, you can't. So when it comes to a knife, we saw that, you know, you can, a hakam can go and can kind of lend out his knife, yeah? So since it's kind of possible to find kind of other ways around, yeah, then we have this kind of peshara, right? That again, we pass him like Rabbi Huda, but Amoru and Cain, you shouldn't, you know, don't kind of publicize it so much, yeah? So that's the kind of in-between. So that is spoken out in the Ramban and the Ram. Yeah, mm-hmm. And the reason why it's quite important is because that's actually how we paskin halacha lemaisa. Yeah, that's kind of how it comes out. How it comes out in the Shulchan Aruch. Yeah, and the Ramar as well. Yeah. So if you, I put the citations here. Yeah, but if you go to Taf Tzadi Hei, the Shulchan Aruch says, yeah, machshiri ochel nefesh that can't be done before yontif is kind of permitted. Yeah. But lemaisa, if you go then later on, you see that you're not allowed to put out a fire to stop your house being smoked out, or for tashmish, yeah? Right. And then the other halacha is that, yeah, if you look and you look at tafkuf tes, yeah, I put the citation in here, you're only allowed to do the knife in certain limited ways, yeah? That has to be done with a shinui, yeah, and a morin cane, yeah? Right. So that kind of, that seems to be how it comes out, yeah? One interesting thing, just a couple of interesting things. One is that when we say a morin cane, yeah? So maybe, have I told you that you're allowed to do it?
Yeah.
So I saw a Karelet says, yeah, that when you're doing it for learning, yeah, then that's okay. That's okay. So, oh, phew, okay, yeah. Right? So that's the first point. But the other point is, yeah, that I looked a bit more into this issue of what about kind of trying to be mechaber, turning out a fire in order to save a pot, yeah? Right, so let's say you've got your chulant, yeah, there, right? And it's kind of on too high, right? And, you know, and basically, you know, you've kind of, you know, you think if you leave it like that, it's going to get ruined, yeah? So basically, the Ramah actually says, right, that if there's no other way of kind of, you know, set, you know, dealing with the food, he actually says it would be permitted, yeah, to turn it down. How does that fit with what we said? Because we said we don't paskin like Rabbi Huda in that way. So the answer is because really the psak of not was about the pot, yeah? But if you've got a pot with food inside, yeah, and there's no other way of saving the food, then actually that would become a malacha for the food itself. That's the way they say it, yeah? Right, so it's actually not, it kind of gets upgraded. If the only way to save the food itself is basically to turn it down, right, then that's not a machshir yochel nefesh, that's an ochel nefesh itself. It's much more direct, yeah? So that would potentially be permitted. And according to that, that's a nice het of the Ramah. And I looked this up and I saw, actually, that there's all sorts of questions, though, about kind of how much you need to be able to do, yeah, in order, you know, what does it mean, like, if there's no other option kind of thing. You know, that's always a kind of a vague area. So obviously go and ask a kasha question halacha lemaisa to the Rav if it comes up. I did see that Igros Moshe seemed to be kind of lenient, yeah? Because you might think that, you know, I suppose, you know, at the end of the day, like, you know, if you just take it off the fire and leave the fire there, then I suppose, you know, the whole food's going to get ruined because it just get cold or won't cook, right, or whatever. So, but I saw there was a lenient opinion there in the Igros Moshe. So I think, what else is there to speak about? There is another interesting point, yeah, about what happens to the shepud, yeah, that doesn't get. Here we talk about a shepud shenirtsam, yeah, that it gets broken off, yeah.
Right.
But what happens if it gets completely bent? And we did see that in our Gemara as well, yeah.
No, we can still use it though in our case.
That's the difference, right? In our case, it gets bent, but you can still use it. So we said, you know, you shouldn't do anything in Rosh Hashanah because of tircha or whatever, yeah. But what happens if you can't use it? Right, so it gets bent, so bent, and right, you can't now, you know, it's complete. Can you do something, like, you know, even kind of malachadik in order to put it back? Yeah. So the Ramah wants to say yes, you can. Right, if it gets bent, you know, you should be able to do that, because again, yeah, this goes back to what we're saying. The halacha, right? This is machshuv yochel nefesh. You're using it. It's no worse than a knife. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we say that actually here it should go like Rabbi Huda. Right?
Because it's directly with food.
Because it's direct, yeah, it's machshiri, well, but directly with food, yeah? Exactly, it's EF Shah for Yontif, and maybe a Moim King or whatever, but the Ikra Din, you should be able to put it back. So that's what the Maramah says, yeah? He says you can do it. But interesting, this connects with the last thing that we saw. You have to always put all the pieces together. So on that, there's a Be'er Halacha. And he says, not so fast, he says, because wait a sec, yeah? If it's completely bent out of shape, right, and it's unusable, and now you're bending it back into shape. If you remember last time, we said that for Yehuda, there might be a problem, according to the run, of actually making a kli. We said that it could be that the reason why you can't use a classic, you know, proper stone sharpener, yeah, was because that's so good that you're like making a new knife. Yeah, do you remember that in the run? It was remember last week, if we kind of go back a bit, we said it was a kind of machlokus between the Rosh, who wanted to say you, even for Rabbi Huda, you could even use a stone sharpener,
right,
and kind of, you know, the Rambam and according to the run, the Rif, yeah, who wanted to say no, that for Rabbi Huda, you have to use a shinui. And the way that the run explained that was because even for Rabbi Huda, who permits machshuv yochel nefesh, yeah, but it doesn't allow you to do something like make an entirely new kli. Right? So based on that, yeah, that's another caveat. So you have to always have all the facts in mind that the Be'er Halacha wants to argue on this Ramah, and he brings Achronim who argue to say, you know, even though in theory that, yeah, that's Machshuv Yochel Nefesh, we pass in Rabbi Yehuda, EF Shah, sound seems to fit all the boxes, but there's one other thing you always have to remember about Rabbi Yehuda, right, which is he doesn't necessarily allow you to completely make a new kli. So that's why with a knife, it will turn out that you have to sharpen it on like a wooden thing. You can't use the classic wooden sharpener. Right, so here he wants to say, in that case, if it's completely bent out of shape, then it will be a problem, probably putting it back. So yeah, so that's basically the bottom line.
Yeah, very good, beautiful. Thank you.
Okay.
I'll try and send the. I didn't.